thing out of today's sermon. It's kind of a hard one to apply to absolutely everyone, but I'm really praying that God will put something on your heart and that you will get something out of this. But I thought I would begin today with a nice reminder. As a quote. Youth today have luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority, no respect for older people, and talk nonsense when they should work. Young people do not stand up any longer when adults enter the room. They contradict their parents, talk too much in company, and tyrannize their elders. Now this may surprise you, but the man who wrote this quote was Socrates, who lived 400 years before Jesus Christ lived. It reminds us that every generation of young people have had their issues with their parents. It's not a new thing. What you're going through and what you've been through and what you may see in your children and your grandkids, it's not new. Right? God knows about it. God's seen it happen time and time again. But let's get into it. What does it mean to honour? This is the first command that deals with loving others. The first four commands deal with loving God, three of which we have done. We moved it around to work it in with Mother's Day. So we've looked at how we are to love God, are to have no other gods, not to worship idols, to not take the Lord's name in vain, and the one that we are yet to do is remembering the Sabbath. They all deal with our love for God, and it is important that loving God comes first, because it is love, God's love, and only in and through him that we can truly love others. The first command, the first relationship that deals with our love for others involves the family, involves the relationships of children to parents. That is significant. That says that before you go out and love those who are lost, you need to honour your parents. Before you can deal with the sinner who is angry with God, you need to get the family relationship right. And we'll be talking about that a little bit later on. But first, let's take a look at this word, honour. In Hebrew, it's kabod. It's an Old Testament word for glory and honour. It was the Hebrew word used that means glory or weight or to be heavy. It was the Old Testament word that describes the glory of God, the weightiness of his person. And in the Ephesians passage, when it talks about obedience, the Greek word for obey means to hear under, to submit to, or to listen attentively. So we're kind of today saying that you need to listen under something heavy, I guess. But we are to listen not because the parent deserves the honour, but because God has given parents an honourable position. It says it's on my own. Am I coming through now? There we go. Am I coming through? Oh, there we go. Sorry about that, guys. Did you all hear me, or should I start again? You all heard me? That's good. All right. So all of God's people, no matter the age of the child or the parent, are to honour their parents. The Ephesians command is to obey is to young children. But as we grow up and we get married and we move away from our parents, we are still always to honour them. There are times when children should obey their parents, disobey their parents, but the only time that is when they contradict the word of God, when they go against God's character and what he would want for their family. Then it is okay to disobey your parents, but that is the only time as a young child when you can disobey your parents. I chose that passage about Saul and Jonathan, though, because Jonathan was a son who, despite the fact that his own father before this tried to kill him for eating a little bit of honey that he shouldn't have eaten, right? Saul tried to kill his son, Jonathan, and then Saul tried to kill Jonathan's best friend, David. But in all of this, Jonathan always honored his father, even in correction, even in pointing out his faults, he did it in an honourable way. And I wanted to bring that in because today I know there might be people sitting out there today who didn't have honourable parents, who didn't have parents who are worthy of gratitude, who didn't have parents that they'd want to celebrate Mother's Day or Father's Day with. But I think Saul's a pretty good example of someone who most people wouldn't want to celebrate Father's Day with, and yet Jonathan always honoured him. I wanted to bring that in today because some of you might have had that in your life. But just because they may not be worthy of honor doesn't mean you shouldn't honor them. Why should we honor, though? You might know what it means to honor, but why should we do it? Well, firstly, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. Children must obey and honor their parents because God commands it. Period. It's part of divine law. God says it, you do it.
As Christians, as people who belong to the Lord, what other reason do we need? It's part of our devotion to Jesus to honor our mum and dad. The second reason, because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. We do it because it's the right thing. Most, if not all, cultures across the world would say that honoring your parents is the right thing to do. It's part of the moral order of the universe that God has put in place. It's part of the natural law. So it not only accords with God's divine law, what God's word says, but also goes in accord with natural law. Some say we should do it because they're our own flesh and blood. Some say we should do it out of gratitude. Some say we should do it because parents are wiser than their kids. There are situations out there, though, where parents aren't wiser than their kids, where there is very little gratitude owed because there was very little given. And as for the flesh and blood sentiment, one of the central themes of the gospel is that we have been adopted as children of God. We've been adopted into the family of God. That says that an adopted father, an adopted child, brothers and sisters in Christ can be just as much a real family bond as a natural or biological one. So why should we honor? Two main reasons are right here in the Word of God. Because God says so, and because it's the right thing to do. Now, I like this verse. Then you will live a long, full life in the land of the Lord God is giving you. That's out of Exodus. I love this because it shows where we get this parenting idea from. God knows that children find it easier to obey and honor and do the right thing than when there is a reward on the line. Now, for Israel, the reward was saying that if you want to enjoy the full blessings that God has in store for you in the promised land, you will honor your mum and dad. For us today, it is saying that if you want God's blessing, if you want the abundant life that God's word promises, then honor your parents. Spiritual blessing always follows obedience to God's word. Always. Maybe not the blessing that you want, but spiritual blessing always follows obedience to God's word. Isn't it great how God motivates us to holiness? He could have just said, honor your father and mother or else. Instead, he says, let me lay this out for you. You're not going to want to do this. It's not within your sin nature to do it. But don't you want to live long in the land? Don't you want to experience the blessings in life? God gives us a path towards holiness, a path towards that end. And it starts with honoring your parents. So many times in the Bible, when God commands something, there's often a reward. And if there's not a reward written, the reward is being closer to Jesus Christ. The reward is spending eternity with God. God is a loving God. He's not just out here to dictate things to you just because he can. It's because he knows what's best for you. Just like parents today should have their children's best interests at heart, God always has your best interests at heart. Always. You may not always like what he has to say to you, but he says it to you because you need it. Another reason why we honor our parents is because Jesus was honorable and obedient from cradle to the cross. Jesus is always our example. There's that classic saying, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus always honored his parents. Jesus is the one whom we are to model our lives after. And if we do that, we will notice that Jesus was the perfect son. When Jesus was found teaching in Nazareth as a young boy, while his parents were frantically looking for him, they asked him to come home. And without a fight, he joyfully submitted to his parents' wishes. And one of the last words that Jesus speaks on the cross, before he says, it is finished, before he says that sin has been paid for, he turns to his mother and he turns to John the disciple. And he says, son, this is your mother. Mother, this is your son. He was making sure that his mum was going to be looked after. Jesus was the perfect child, not only to his earthly parents, but also to God the Father, obedient even unto death. We know that Jesus said to God, Lord, if there's another way, let it be so, but not my will, but yours be done. And Jesus didn't do it kicking and screaming. He did it submitting completely to the will of God. The hardest thing a parent could have ever asked their child to do. And he did it perfectly. God begins the love others section of commandments with honor your parents, because this is the key to all relationships in society. This was not randomly placed. Nothing God does is random. It is by the relationship between child and parent that a child learns how to navigate the world that they live in. It is by learning to respect authority that a child learns to submit to governments, bosses, teachers, leaders, and even when these people may tick them off, parents also sometimes tick you off. But you still have to honor them. It's the foundation upon which love for our neighbor is built. As children, we learn what it is to have someone in authority over us, to listen to people, to honor them, and do things we sometimes don't want to do. Children need a mother and a father who will stand firm on God's word and give them the gospel. And for all of those, we've all gone through those teenage years where we're just rebellious, and society says it's okay, you've got to let them make their mistakes. That's just the time of life. It's okay for them to behave so silly. But God's word says that that's actually not okay. God's word says honor your parents. Oh, but once you get to those teenage years, it's okay for you to slacken off. That's not the case. How should we honor? These are very practical tips. Again, for everyone, this isn't just for young children. The honoring part, whenever honor is talked about, that applies to everyone who has a mother and father, no matter your age. We joyfully obey or respect our parents. Young children honor their parents by listening attentively and doing what is asked of them with joy. It sounds odd, but doing it without the kicking and kicking and screaming is not honorable. Prompt and cheerful obedience, even just with a smile, would be a good start. Those who no longer are young children, this means you need to respect your parents, talk well of them to others, speak kindly to them. Be a person of good character. We all end up not only looking like our parents in some way, but behaving like them as well. Honor your parents by being children of good character who represent the name of your parents well. Upright children become a precious crown to an old grey head. Being grateful to them. Thank them for everything they have ever done for you, how they may have provided for you. In return, provide for them in their old age when it is needed. To neglect your parents is to dishonor them and is to ultimately live under the disapproval of God. Apologize and forgive. Honor your parents by confessing when you have messed up, by apologizing for all the times you fell short. Don't be afraid of saying, I'm sorry. And anytime when we talk about parents here, it also applies, generally speaking, to leaders in the church, to any other authority figure that you may have in your life. You'll also be honoring your parents by forgiving them when they mess up, because they also are not perfect. Don't hold on to grudges. Forgive them. Here's the tough one. Parents, be worthy of honor. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Parents, you have a big job to do. In preparing this sermon, I turned to Jess last night, I'm like, do we really want to be parents? This is a big job. This is a hard job. It has a lot of responsibility that goes with it. It's an honorable position, though, bestowed upon us by God. With great privilege always comes great responsibility, and there is no greater privilege, apart from knowing Jesus Christ himself, than being able to be a parent. But there is no greater responsibility. You are to bring your kids up to nourish and to feed them, to raise them up, not keep them dependent on you, but on God. To get them to a place where they can make decisions for themselves. To raise them up to one day leave as men and women who are mighty ambassadors for the name of Jesus Christ. And even if your kids have left home, that is still a job that you can pray into, a job that you can do when you're with them, that they will be mighty ambassadors for the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the word discipline there means to keep accountable. Instruction means to counsel, verbal instruction, verbal warning. So to discipline means to keep accountable, to literally hold their feet to the fire, to punish when needed. It sounds harsh, but discipline always produces practical righteousness. We all need discipline in our lives, none more so than children. Parents are also to instruct, to teach, and to warn them about the things of the world, to teach them what is right and wrong. It's the job of the parent to pass along their values. Children need solid discipline. They don't want it, but they need it. You know, before you come to know Jesus Christ, you don't want Jesus Christ, but you need him because he is your only hope. They need clear verbal instruction, solid discipline, all wrapped in nourishing tenderness. They need to experience the love of God through you. This is a time when lives are made or broken. That's a big responsibility. Parents ought to completely commit themselves to the godly teaching and training of their children. Completely and tirelessly commit yourselves to this training, to this teaching, as though their lives depended on it. It is important that kids go to school and learn how to read and write and do mathematics. They're very important. It is important that kids do sport and exercise, also very important. But there is nothing more important than teaching our kids the Word of God and what it means to have a relationship with their Heavenly Father. There is nothing more important. But I often wonder, and I often look at my own life as a parent, how much priority does it have? Does the priority of sport and reading and writing and going to a good school, do all those things take priority over the Word of God? And if they do, we need to repent. Genuinely, if Elijah couldn't read and write but knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, my job's done. I'm happy. That's all I could ask for. That is where our priority ought to be. The family unit is taking hits from every which way in the world. Build them up. Plant their feet firmly in the one true foundation of Jesus Christ. Here are the three essentials to raising children. And a lot of these involve us as a church. We need to get around families. We need to be praying for families. We need to be helping families where we can. All right, three essentials. It takes a church to raise kids, so turn up. Jess and I will often say to each other that we are so grateful that Elijah and Ewan get to grow up in the church. It's like having a whole heap of uncles and aunts and grandmas and grandpas all in the one place, and best of all who love the Lord Jesus Christ. What better community to bring them up in? It is truly such a blessing. But you don't reap that reward if you don't bring your kids along to church. When I say church, though, I don't just mean any old church either. You want your kids to be going to a church where they hear the gospel preached, where the Word of God is revered and preached in its fullness, where God's grace is heralded from the pulpit, but where they are also told that they are sinners and need Jesus. You know, I was at the Baptist Pastors Conference this year, and we're talking about how to reach Gen Z and Gen Alpha. And so we're talking about that as youth pastors, and we're talking about how they're people who love to be accepted and be tolerated, and how all acceptance and tolerance is changing in the world and all of that. And we're talking about, well, how do we reach them? And I sort of said a few comments and people didn't necessarily love what I had to say. But then I went up to the guy at the end and I said, I know that we have to show grace. I know that we have to tell people gracefully, that we have to tell the youth gracefully. But I said, anyway, I got two kids. I don't want my children going to a church. I don't want churches to be places filled with just grace. I want Elijah to be told by a pastor that he is a sinner and that he needs Jesus. That's the kind of churches that you need to be going to. Places where God's grace is proclaimed from the pulpit. That's absolutely essential. We don't have the gospel without grace. But it also needs to be a church where they preach the seriousness of sin and what it cost God to send Jesus to the cross. May we be a church like that. May we be a church where parents can bring their kids and go, I'm so glad that they hear the full gospel, that they hear the full Word of God. It is a joy and a privilege to be part of the body of Christ. Remind children of that by being present at church. Even now, as your kids may be a lot older, all right, show them that church, that the body of Christ is still a priority to you. Show them what it means for you to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior and God as your Heavenly Father. You can still do that now. It takes the gospel to raise kids, so speak up. Nothing can change the wickedness of our hearts except for the power of God, the gospel that takes a broken wretch like myself, and by the grace of God I am made whole by Jesus Christ. No school can do that. No sport can do that. No music class can do that. Only the gospel takes a sinner like me and makes me whole by the power of God at work in me. It takes the gospel. So speak up. There is one thing your kids need to hear, young or old, it's that they are sinners, that Jesus Christ died for them because such is the love of God. And only in him can they find forgiveness. Teaching them how to be functioning members of society is very important, but teaching them how to be functioning members of the kingdom of God is infinitely more important. It takes God to raise kids, so pray up. Parents, we will never be perfect. Children will never be perfect, but God is perfect. He is the perfect Father, and you will need his power, his grace, his patience to raise your kids. I'm sure a lot of us probably have kids or brothers and sisters, someone in our family who don't know Jesus. Doesn't just have to be when they're young. Right, I'm sure it's amongst all our families right now. Pray up. Prayer works. Prayer is powerful. It's not just a gimmick. God didn't just give it to us as a gimmick. He gave it to us because he wants a relationship with us. He gave it to us because there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in it because of who we pray to. So pray, leaning fully into God's grace. Lastly, and most importantly, God is worthy of honor. Parents aren't always worthy of honor, but they deserve it because of the position that's been given to them by God. But God is the only person truly worthy of honor. Love for God comes first, and we cannot truly love unless we love God. Jesus sums up all the commandments into two, the greatest commandments, right? The first of the two is to love God. We love God not because we need him so we can be better parents or because he blesses us if we love him. We love him because he alone is worthy of honor, because he is our only hope for salvation. When I did the first commandment in this series about loving God, about having no other gods, I said, for that to be successful, you need to always come back to where it began. You need to always come back to salvation. Remember the day that you were saved. Remember all that God has done for you. And I say that again today. Remember your salvation. Remember who it is that is worthy of all the honor and the glory. God is love. Not God is loving. God is love. And only by dying to ourselves and allowing his love to work in us can we truly love others. Can we truly love our children? Can we truly honor our parents? We can do it to some extent in an earthly manner because such is the grace of God. But we can only truly love by the power of God because he himself is love. We all need family love. We all need unconditional love. Love that says, despite all your sin, despite all your failures, I love you. That can only be found in God the Father. And this reminds me of Luke 15, the prodigal son. Famous story, but I'm going to recap it. Where the son says to the father, I don't want to wait for the inheritance. I want to wait for you to die. I kind of wish you were dead now so I could have that money. And he says that to his dad. And his dad's like, okay, take it. It's yours. So the son takes it and goes and squanders it wastefully on living a licentious lifestyle. But he runs out of money and he sees his sin and he decides to go back to his father, not as a son, but as a slave, as he feels that that's all he is worthy of. And he says, sort of before he gets there and then once he gets there, that I'm just going to come to my father and I'll say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm not worthy to be called your son, but would you make me a slave? But do you remember what happens? Before the son even gets his confession out, the father sees him coming. It's like he's been waiting for him to come home. He knows that he's gone and taken his inheritance. He's kind of wished that his father would die. He knows this. But before the son even gets there, he says, my son, put on the best robe. Put on my family ring again. Let's kill the fattened calf. Let's have a party. Let's have a banquet, for my son has returned. And what was once lost is now found. And what was once broken is now made whole. That's the kind of love that we find in God. The Father in that story is God. It's unconditional love. If you will but come to him and cast your sins before him, he will give you this family love. He will give you this unconditional love. Parents, no matter what age your kids are at, point to the parent the Father who gave up his one and only Son for a sinner, his enemy, so that we could be adopted as children of God. If there is one thing we should want our kids to know, it's the gospel. It's the love of a Father who would love them by sending his one and only Son to take the punishment they deserved, and only by the grace of God through Jesus Christ and his life, death, and resurrection do they get to experience the love of the Creator of the universe, but not just once off, each and every day of their lives. Isn't that a love that you want for your kids? Tell them about it. Use everyday situations to remind them of God's grace, of God's justice. Point them to Jesus Christ, for this is their only hope in life. Parents, you don't have to be perfect. You're not going to be perfect. And when you mess up, point them to the Father who is perfect. Tell your kid, I know I messed up. I'm sorry. But use that as an opportunity to point back to God. Children, you will mess up. But God sent Jesus to die for all of your failures and all your sins. God alone is worthy of honor. So in closing, children, obey and honor your parents because it pleases the Lord and it is right. We honor our parents not because they deserve it, not because of anything they have done. We honor them because God's word tells us it is pleasing to him and it is the right thing to do. Parents, bring your children up in the Lord. Show them and tell them about the greatest story that's ever been told. The responsibility of raising kids is massive, but the greatest responsibility and God-given privilege you have is to tell them about your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Make it personal. Show them your deep love for Jesus. It's not just about telling them some facts. It's about making it real in your own life so that they can see that Jesus is real in your own life. Seize every opportunity to read the Bible with them, pray with them, and show them the love that you have for your Heavenly Father and point them to that love that they can find for themselves. We all fail as children and parents. I've only got really young kids and I've already failed countless times. God never has and never will fail you though. He is worthy of all the honor. You will fail, but when you do, run to God, repent, fall into his arms and rediscover his grace all over again. We all strive to be and want to be honorable people, but God alone is the very definition of honorable. So in everything that you do, bring glory to him. I want to close with a story about a man named Jonathan Edwards, a great theologian, preacher, and evangelist from a couple hundred years ago. But when he died, only one of his daughters was there, and all the rest of his children and his wife were elsewhere. He said, I know I won't last the night out. So he turned to his daughter Lucy and he said, write this down. First of all, tell my wife that the uncommon union, which has so long subsisted between... He's an old guy, so it's old language. Subsisted between us is, I think, a spiritual one, and therefore one that will last forever. And then here's what he said. I want you to tell your brothers and sisters it is about time they look to a father who does not die. That is the message of a father who loves their children. No matter what you have been through, no matter what you may be going through today, look to a father who does not die. And this is not just a message from a parent to a child. This is the gospel message. This is the message of the church to the world. It's repent and turn to the true Father who loves you deeply. Look to God Almighty who does not die, for he is your only hope of salvation. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for all the parents in this room. I want to thank you that you have given this honor and privilege to parents, that we get to love someone so profoundly, and we get to have just a glimpse of what you would have gone through when you sent Jesus to the cross to die for me. I thank you for all the hours that parents put in, the sleepless hours they put in when they have to get up and deal with their crying children, or all those times when they've spent hours just praying that they would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I thank you for parents, and I pray that they would always lean on your grace, that they would love you deeply. And as children, I pray that we would always honor our parents. If as young children, obedience, but as older children, honor, speaking well of our parents, speaking kindly to them, apologizing to them, forgiving them, Lord. May you give us that power to forgive and love our parents even when sometimes we may not want to, because sometimes they probably don't want to love us as kids either. But Lord, you alone are worthy of all the honor. You alone have given us salvation. You alone have given us the word of God and the gospel that can save the world. So we thank you for all that you do. And may we not be shy to proclaim this message to the world, that they need to look to a Father who does not die, for he is their only hope. Lord, we thank you that you are eternal, that you are loving, that you are graceful, that you are just, and that you sent Jesus Christ to die for us so that we could find forgiveness, but that he rose again so that we too could have new life. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.